Well, if y'all woke up this morning thinking you were going to hear Kevin preach, so did I. So we will see what we can do here. I wrote this sermon like 10 years ago, so some of this stuff might be dated, and I might not remember it all. But new year, new you, right? We're just 11 days away from New Year's. And what does that usually mean? What happens on New Year's? New Year's resolutions, all right? What are some of the top resolutions? You can yell it out.
Work out.
Eat better, be healthier, right? Like, spend more time in the Bible. Spend more time with your family. You can go ahead whenever you feel comfortable. She hasn't seen these slides either. So, yeah, so those are some of the top ones. 37% is stay fit and healthy. You can keep going. Spend less, save more, more family time, get organized. That's one for me. Learn something new. People start Duolingo. You learn a new language. Travel more. Read more. It's like, oh, I saw somebody read 40 books last year. I should start reading any. And now, none of those are inherently bad, but as Christians, or at least me speaking from a pulpit in a church, we need to focus on biblical goals, right? And especially spiritual health. So I'm going to start out in Romans 12. I use a lot of scripture. I was telling Buzz earlier, I can't speak Greek or Hebrew, so I don't dig as deep as Kevin, so I make up for it with quantity. So you can try to follow along, but it might just be easier to read from the screen. So Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This type of change will take sacrifice, right? I like tacos. It's a sacrifice not to eat them every day. So number one, our first bullet here, physical health. Didn't think that was going to happen, right? Physical health. This is not a motivational speech. There is scripture to back all of this up. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think I put even more up here. Proverbs 31, 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So I have a lot of different ways. May not be able to tell by looking at me, but I used to research heavily into nutrition and exercise and whatnot. Again, Buzz probably knows more than me by a long shot. I will say, if something isn't working for you, try something else. If you are, eating low fat, high carb, and you're not losing weight or getting healthy like you want to, maybe try something else. If you are eating meat and it's not working, maybe try being a vegetarian. Like, just try something, right? If it's just, don't stop, keep doing the same thing you're doing. Try something else. So, 1 Timothy 4:8 does say, though, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for life to come. So I'm going to slide called Detour, Jamie, if you want to go all the way to Detour. This is something I like to teach all the time to youth, to whoever will listen. Everything you do has a time value, right? You had breakfast this morning. How much value does that give you? 4 hours, right? You're going to be hungry by lunch, or you'll be hungry now if you ate breakfast a couple hours ago. Everything you do has a time value. Minutes, hours, days, months, years, lifetimes, other people's lifetimes, generations. You being in church here today will affect you throughout all eternity. Working with youth, it could affect all of their eternity, right? Like, so it's just everything you do, think about how long that's actually going to last you and how beneficial it is, what the return on investment is. Because we should focus more time on stuff that lasts lifetimes, generations, and eternity than we spend on, TikTok or YouTube, stuff that you will enjoy for a minute and then it'll be gone like a vapor, right? All right, so that's a quick bit on physical health. Let's go on to financial health. It's another fun one, right? It was one of the top, which one was it? It was the fourth highest New Year's resolutions, to be more financially healthy. So, God is the source. All of your finances. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's all his anyway, right? Which makes the next point easier. Giving is vital. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And in fact, giving is the only time in the Bible, at the end of Malachi, when God says, go ahead and test me. Test me in this and see if I don't open the floodgates, right? Like, that's the only time he's told you to test him, is in giving. Kyle Eidelman, in his book, God's at War, says, I was talking to a friend of mine who is quite wealthy, but the only real indication of his wealth is his extreme generosity. He was recently talking to me about how easy it is for money to become an idol in his life. I asked him how he kept the God of money off the throne of his heart, and here is what he said. Giving money away breaks its power. It's like you're saying to money, I don't even care about you. You are so unimportant to me that I can just give you away. And he explains that when you give like that, it destroys the idol of money because it can't stand not being important. And that could go for a lot of things, right? If you want to find out how important money is, start giving it away. All right, the next part of that, everything's from God. Giving is vital. Saving. Basically, not saving is foolish. Proverbs 21:20 says, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man spendeth it up. So save money. And then the last point, keep out of debt. Now I get it. Sometimes you have to have debt. Inflation's going up. Everything's going up. Wages are going down. There is going to be times when you need to take on debt. But debt is a slavery. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Debt is a big flaming pile of emergency. And it will keep your focus on money and not where it should be, right? But I get it, no shame. If there's debt, there's debt. We have a whole lot of student loans still. But trying to get rid of them. All right, the last point that makes all of this possible is contentment. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. So if you can be content, you can know God's the source. You can give it away so it loses its power. You can save it, which is a prudent and smart thing to do. And you can avoid debt as best as you can and get rid of that debt when you can. And that will help you spiritually as well because you won't have all of those stressors in your life. All right, so this is not point number three yet, but we did physical and we did finances. Now, the third point is mental, which I am. If you weren't Christian, or rather, if this wasn't a sermon for a church, I would suggest Chris Widener, Jim Rohn, other personal development type books. They're good, they're helpful, they're inspiring. But they're not the Bible, right? So if you're not a believer, that's okay. You can go use those sources. But if you're not a believer from here on out, some of this stuff is going to be kind of limited to you. So if you haven't asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior in your life, you can do that today. We can help you do that. We can help you figure it all out and walk with you through that. But if you haven't, some of this stuff will probably fall flat in the next few minutes. All right, so in Romans 1, Paul spends most of the first 11 chapters on doctrine and theology. And then in 12, he switches over to some more practical instruction. Romans 12, 1 through 2, commit to God. 12, 3 through 8, serve others. 9 through 21, love others. Right? So back into that Romans 12, 1 where we started. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when we talk about mental health as a Christian, we're talking about this, spiritual health, the renewing of your mind, as Paul puts it. So, and then going back to the other parts of chapter 12, loving God and loving others. What is, exactly does that mean, all in that context of spiritual health? You got to commit to God, you got to serve others, you got to love others. So, serving and loving others leads us to a place where we can tell them about Christ. I've seen many street preachers yelling about the rapture or calling people terrible names. Is that winning anybody to Jesus? Not really. No, it's probably pushing them further away. One of my rules for social media is I want to make people more interested in Jesus and not less interested. I don't always, you know, accomplish that, but that's one of my goals. When you serve others, love others, it can build a relationship where then they are like, hey, tell me about this Jesus of yours. I know you go to church. I know you do this. What is this about? And that's the only way that you'll be able to reach them with the gospel, because otherwise they could just go find it themselves, right? They can go look it up. They can go read the Bible. They can go online. But to have somebody that can disciple them, that's about the relationships, right? So you can teach them about Christ, you can grow them in spiritual maturity, and you can teach them how to become leaders that can do the same thing, right? You don't want to end it with you, right? Because then that only affects so many people, the people that you talk to. You want to teach them how to do it. That's all discipleship is, right? So let's focus on some specific actions as an individual to work on your spiritual health. Number one, prayer, right? That's a pretty easy answer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now clearly there's lots of verses on prayer, right? Jesus was kind of big on prayer. It was one of the last things he ever did on this earth. But I like this verse because it starts with rejoice and it ends with give thanks. And then in the middle is prayer, right? So that's how the Lord's Prayer is too, right? You say who God is, you thank him, and then you bring your petitions and questions and things. So the next section, or the next bullet, is reading the Bible yourself. This is an important one, because that's what we know about God, right? It's in that book. That's what he gave us, 66 chapters. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, good success is subjective, relative. Good success to the world is not what success looks like to us, right? It's kind of what we've been talking about. But we have a really awesome privilege in this time and place. Does everybody have a Bible on them? Right? It's so easy. The app that came with the Bible that we gave the youth kids is really awesome. You scan the page number of their paper Bible, and it goes so deep into every part of that verse. And I didn't have that as a kid, right? I had, maybe a comic book Bible at times. But, like, the amount of information we can get now and the ease of access to the Bible, especially in this country, is so amazing. So, if you're not reading the Bible regularly, you don't have an excuse, really. I mean, it's all there is to it. Set up a reading plan, get an accountability partner, get reading it every day. All right, the next one, biblical instruction from others. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Now, Kevin is a great teaching pastor, but even if you don't like what he's preaching about, go get it from someone else. I mean, Romans is pretty specific there that you should go learn from other people about Scripture. So learn about it here, learn about it from others. Again, this time and place that we are in with the internet, you can go listen to every pastor that I have ever worked with today. And just go online, and it'll be right there. So there's no excuse to not be learning from others. All right. The last one, we're all doing today. We're living in biblical community. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is all about encouragement and accountability. Hey, did you read the Bible today? Yeah. No. Why not? Okay. Like, that's what this is all about, to have these people around you to encourage you, keep you accountable, and give you ideas as to what to do next in this faith, right? Church attendance had been in decline, and it's sometimes hard to get here, and there's a lot of stuff going on. Here's a little trick I've learned from 30 years of being a musician in a church. Serve somewhere, sign up to serve somewhere, so that someone is counting on you to be here. It's hard to miss, right? How many times can I call Dan and be like, "Yeah, I'm not coming. I just don't feel like it." Or, "I had a flat tire." I have four flat tires. I had four flat tires 4 weeks in a row. Like, how, you know, so sign up. We need help everywhere. If you don't have something you're doing, then find something to do. Find something you like to do. Find something God wants you to do. Like, you don't have to do stuff you don't want to do. I mean, sometimes. I don't necessarily like preaching, but here I am. So, whatever. So, all right. So, again, I said it was a while since I've seen this. So, Ephesians 4 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, bearing with one another in love." It's not always easy living in community, right? Even the people you love the most, it's hard sometimes. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And then Paul goes on to talk about spiritual gifts. I'm not going to get into all of that, but everybody has spiritual gifts. You know, you talk about the church as a body. Some's the head, some's the arm, some's the leg, some's the voice. You know, like, everybody has a thing to do. And if you're not doing a thing that God wants you to do, then the body is hurting and the body is missing out on your gifts, right? So find something that you like to do, that maybe you're good at, that God wants you to do, and then go do it. Not that hard, right? It's important, and the time of commitment will surpass the amount of time that you put in, right? The 20 minutes that I don't know how long I've been preaching, 20 minutes that I spend preaching hopefully will last with you guys for a couple days, right? So working with those kids, hopefully it lasts for their entire lifetime. Hopefully it affects their friends. It affects their lifetimes and the generation and their kids and grandkids, right? I mean, my grandpa was a pastor. I don't think it's any surprise that I'm here because of that, right? So make what you do, make sure that what you do is something that's important. There's plenty of time for fun and stupid and everything else, but if you focus on the important stuff, the priorities, then you'll be much happier come the end of your life. So, prayer, reading the Bible yourself, getting instructions, biblical instructions from other people, and living in biblical community, okay? So, back to Romans 12, 1. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So, what will you be sacrificing this year in 2026? What can you sacrifice for your physical body, your financial health, your spiritual health, and your church body's health? What can you give up to make room for more important things? You're here. That's a good start. I'm going to pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to impart some wisdom, hopefully, impart some action that people can take as they grow closer to you and grow closer to others in community, and serve in ways that will last for generations and generations. In Jesus' name, amen.